WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Oh boy, does it feel good to be back or what? That's right, I am back on the airwaves after taking a week off. I feel recharged. And I tell you what, I'm in a pretty good mood. What a sporting weekend it was, folks. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this June 8th, 2015. On today's show, we will chat about, of course, LeBron James's historic performance last night as the Cleveland Cavaliers tie up things in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors. I will be telling you why this was LeBron James's greatest performance on the hardwood yet. We'll also chat about Triple Crown winning horse, American Pharoah. I never thought I'd be saying that, folks. The first time this has happened since 1978. We'll also chat about Serena Williams, as she has now won her 20th major. Unbelievable. 20 majors for Serena Williams? That's unbelievable. I'll be inviting the head coach of the MSU women's tennis team, Simone Jargeen. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also be taking your calls throughout the entire hour. We'll have weekend winners for you, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Monday, June 8th. All right, let's start with the MSU football team, folks. The commitments continue to roll in for Mark D'Antonio in the MSU football program. Austin Robertson of Fort Wayne, Indiana, committed this morning to the Spartans 2 days after Josh King of Darien, Illinois, pledged for Michigan State. They are the two highest-ranked commitments for MSU's class of 2016, which, get this, has now reached 15 and is pushing for top five status in the recruiting services rankings. Now, he is ranked the number 111th player overall in the class and number 8 defensive end by Rivals.com. Also this morning, defensive tackle Mike Panasiuk, the 3-star from Roseau, Illinois, also committed to Michigan State and is listed at 6'4", 275 pounds. Congrats to Coach D. I feel like every other day I'm looking at a new commitment roll in for his program. All right, 5 Lansing Lugnuts, including 3 members of the starting lineup, were named to the Midwest League midseason all-star squad announced by the league office last week. Now, first baseman Rowdy Teliz, center fielder Anthony Alford, and designated hitter Ryan McBroom were all selected to start for the Eastern Division, with pitcher Shane Dawson. Now, Richard Urena has also been added to the Eastern Division All-Star roster announced by the league office last week, replacing Bowling Green infielder Cody Blanchard. Now, the 51st Midwest League All-Star Classic will be held at the Peoria Chiefs Dozer Park on June 23rd. The Detroit Tigers, they were able to snap an ugly 8-game losing streak this weekend, taking the weekend series against the Chicago White Sox 2-3. That included a 6-4 win over Chi-Town yesterday afternoon. Alfredo Simon allowed just 1 earned run over 8 innings. Following a day off today, the Tigers return home to begin a 2-game interleague set against the Cubs tomorrow. Right-hander Anibal Sanchez goes in the opener against left-hander John Lester with a 7:08 p.m. Eastern Time first pitch. LeBron James, how good was he last night, folks? He finished with 39 points, 16 rebounds, 11 assists in 50 minutes. Folks, we call that a triple-double, carrying Cleveland's depleted roster to victory on the NBA's toughest home floor inside what I like to call Roracle Arena in Golden State against the Warriors. 95-93 was the final in overtime last night. Steph Curry, the league's MVP, did not play like one. He scored 19 points, shot an oogle, 5 of 23 from the floor, including 2 of 15 from three-point range, had 6 turnovers. Game 3 is tomorrow at 9 p.m. in Cleveland. All right, the Stanley Cup Finals have also been entertaining. and filled with plenty of drama. The Tampa Bay Lightning made three goalie changes in even the 2015 Stanley Cup Final with a 4-3 win against the Chicago Blackhawks at Amalie Arena on Saturday. The best of seven series is tied at one game apiece with Game 3 at the United Center tonight at 8 p.m. American Pharoah, the 3-year-old Bay Colt, became the 12th horse to win the Triple Crown and the first in 37 years to do so. The horse with the misspelt name led wire-to-wire Saturday, defeating second-place Frosted by a comfortable margin, 5.5 lengths. Keen Ice was third. American Pharoah is the Triple Crown winner since Affirmed won the Kentucky Derby, Preakness Stakes, and Belmont Stakes in 1978. And despite being snapped by a nasty flu for much of last week, Serena Williams beat Lucy Sharapova to win the French Open on Saturday and claim a landmark 20th major. On the men's side, Stan Wawrinka stunned Novak Djokovic to win his first French Open title and thwart the world number one's career Grand Slam hopes and Novak Djokovic. And it certainly wasn't simple, but David Lingmer took home the first victory of his career, a playoff win at the Memorial after a three-hole playoff with Justin Rose. Lingmer shot a 69 in his fourth round to clear the field at 15 under. Well, our phone lines are open. Call in at 517-355-9527. That wraps up today's Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Yeah, I think it's about that time to start the show.
Again, coming from the weak side, says to LeBron James, not on my watch. Outstanding effort by the ultimate competitor.
And that is how we begin this week of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. That is right. I am back in the saddle, and boy, does it feel good, ladies and gents. Man, yeah, I took a week off. That's my first time taking any time off since I've been here at WKAR. It was much needed. It was very relaxing. I got a chance to go out to Six Flags out in Illinois. The first time I've been in Six Flags out in Illinois since, man, I was like 11 years old. I'm a big roller coaster enthusiast, so I read just about every big roller coaster that was there, like the Batman ride, the Superman Ultimate Adventure. That was fun stuff. Some of you guys out there may be listening like, all right, Al, you are completely crazy, because I know a lot of people out there that are completely terrified of roller coasters. I'm not one of them, though. That was a great time. And also getting a chance to see the fam back in the good old west side of Detroit. That was great getting to see them. I hadn't seen them in quite some time. But just a good moment to just recharge. And I'm pretty sure many of you out there got a chance to tune in throughout last week as we had a best of Current Sports week-long special, just in case you haven't been listening and needed a chance to catch up on some of our more notable guests, segments, and moments on Current Sports throughout the recent weeks and months. So thanks for tuning in. But we are back live and in charge, folks. I'm certainly glad to be back. And we have an exciting week. An exciting week throughout Current Sports Radio and Current Sports Television. Later on throughout the week, just to give you guys kind of a sneak peek and preview of what we have in store for you, I'll be inviting James Moore, of course, former MSU fullback, for the MSU football team, doing some outstanding things in the community. Of course, this is, I believe now, his second straight year that he is embarking on his SWAP campaign. SWAP Which basically stands for just swapping out negative energy with a positive energy. James has done some great work here in Lansing, and his football camp, the second year of his football camp continues, his youth football camp, which will be kicking off later on this month. You don't want to miss that chat. James will be on the show on Wednesday. I'll also be chatting with Eric Rutland, Lansing United. That's right, Lansing's very own minor league soccer team head coach. He'll be in the house tomorrow to talk about how Lansing United's season has gone thus far. Also, yeah, everyone is talking about it, folks. And how exciting was that game last night? As you heard throughout that montage, the Cleveland Cavaliers evening things up against the Golden State Warriors. We will invite Diamond Leung, Golden State Warriors beat reporter, right here live on the show to talk about this incredible series. Of course, he has followed the Golden State Warriors throughout this entire season, a team that only lost two games at home the entire regular season. Unbelievable stuff. They entered last night's game with only another loss to that blemished record. Only three games at home that they've lost entering last night's game. Now make that four with Cleveland taking last night's game at the Oracle Arena. A fantastic and fun game. But Diamond will be in the house and will join me later on in the show on Friday. Friday, Diamond will be joining me on the airwaves. So a lot to look forward to. But today you are in store for a treat. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. Just like each and every weekday here on the show, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. You know that number. You probably got it locked in your phone right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call in if you got anything that is on your sports noggin. Of course, later on in the show, we'll have weekend winners for you. I'll be inviting Ryan Slocum of ABC 12, sports reporter and anchor. And also, before Ryan joins me, for the first time here on WKAR's Current Sports, I'll be chatting with Simone Jargeen, who is MSU's women's head tennis coach. She'll talk about and really will put in perspective just how dominant the great Serena Williams has been in the world of tennis. Of course, Serena battling a really nasty flu over the weekend, overcoming that to win her 20th major title. How remarkable is that? I mean, that's just mind-blowing, folks. So Simone will join me on the show later on. You don't want to miss that. But I want to start off today's show by, of course, talking about LeBron James and what him and the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to do in last night's just thrilling NBA Finals Game 2, which went to overtime. Actually, it was the first time in NBA Finals history, in the history of the league, folks, that the first two games of the finals have gone into overtime. Oh, boy. Get your popcorn ready every single time you sit down to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors go at it. But, you know, folks, looking at that game last night, it's truly remarkable what LeBron was able to do. And it's why, this is the reason why I say that this was LeBron's greatest performance yet on the NBA hardwood, folks. And there's a few notables that you could throw in there. That's a strong statement, I know, because LeBron James being one of the greatest players to ever do it on the hardwood, he's had some notable games that you can look at and say, oh, what about this one, Al? What about that one? Two games really stand out in my memory that you can make a counterpoint with when with me making this statement. Of course, on May 31st, 2007, when LeBron James scores the final 25 points against my Detroit Pistons. You guys know how big of a Detroit Piston fan I am, but LeBron and his Cleveland Cavaliers took on the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs, and LeBron, again, scores the final 25 points against the Pistons, 29 of Cleveland's last 30 points in total, beating Detroit in a fantastic come-from-behind victory. But Cleveland were eventually swept in the NBA Finals against the San Antonio Spurs. So you can make a case for that one because that was a truly remarkable game. I actually got a chance last night to sit down and watch some of the highlights of LeBron James, who I believe was 22 at the time, just go redonkulous on the red, white, and royal blue. So you can make a case for that one. But again, I still say that doesn't eclipse to what we saw last night because, again, it wasn't the NBA Finals, folks. it wasn't the NBA Finals. There's a lot more stakes at hand looking at last night's game. Another game you could possibly bring up is what many people feel as though this was the moment that LeBron came into his own. The moment where you said, okay, LeBron James, this brother deserves to be in the conversation of the Magic Johnsons, the Larry Birds, the Michael Jordans of the basketball world. I remember it pretty vividly. It was game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals. And again, it was one of James's finest performances. The Miami Heat were actually trailing, if you remember, 3-2 in the series against the Boston Celtics. This was a game after Paul Pierce and the Celtics won a dramatic Game 5 on the road, highlighted by a Paul Pierce clutch three-point shot over King James late in the fourth quarter. James scores 45 points in the ensuing game to keep his team alive, eventually leading the Miami Heat to a championship, the Heat's second championship in franchise history. That was the moment where you started to see that eye of the tiger from LeBron James. But even with those two performances, as great as they were at the time, they did not compare to what we saw last night. Let's put it in perspective, folks. LeBron has been a player who, when looking at the championships that he has won, all being with the Miami Heat, him playing with players like Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, of course, will go down as one of the greatest players to ever play. It was kind of weird seeing him actually not even in the NBA Finals and actually during the telecast that ESPN had during their NBA Finals pregame and postgame coverage. But playing with Dwayne Wade, one of the greatest players ever. Chris Bosh, who will certainly, I think, go down as one of the greatest fours to play the game. LeBron James did not have a comparable superstar, if you will, when looking at last night's game. Of course, the big spotlight was on LeBron James, seeing as though Kyrie Irving, gosh, and you got to feel for that kid, right? Kyrie Irving went down in game 1 against the Warriors with a broken kneecap. He's out 3 to 4 months. Boom, kaput. A lot of people burying the Cleveland Cavaliers before they even took the floor last night. Not having two of his big three, Kyrie being one, and of course Kevin Love, who was injured in the series against Boston, I believe, Washington, I believe, in that series against Kelly Olynyk. And if you looking at those two dynamics, LeBron James, without two of his big three, him being one of the big three, of course, the pressure is on. Again, playing in Oracle Arena, what I call Roracle Arena. Golden State going 39-2 at home during the regular season, had only lost one game at home in the playoffs up until last night, playing in that atmosphere. And for me, I've always been a guy, I don't want to call myself a LeBron hater. I love LeBron. He is the best player on the planet. But there are certain qualities to his game that I've certainly criticized. That being the way in which LeBron James plays in certain moments. And we all know that certain moment I'm talking about the fourth quarter, the money quarter, when you are supposed to just stump on the throat of your opponent if you have an advantage or a lead. Now, Cleveland certainly wavered in those moments last night. They had a double-digit lead, and then they allowed Golden State to get back in the game. Steph Curry, what a move by him, right, who had struggled all night. He goes 5 of 23 but shows up and ties the game to send it into overtime. Coming off the double-team screen with the baby crossover, goes in with two Cavaliers on his back, throws up a beautiful George Gervin finger roll, nothing but the bottom of the net. They did let Golden State back in that game, but at the end of the day, LeBron James and his team got the job done. Now, going back to the way in which LeBron played, LeBron James, folks, is one of the most physically intimidating forces that the game of basketball has ever seen. 6'8", 6'9" on a good day, over 200 pounds of muscle, pure force. He is a freight train whenever he goes to the basket. When LeBron James drives, I've always said good things happen, folks. And that's exactly the LeBron James you saw last night. He wasn't jacking up three-pointers left and right. Actually, he only took 6 three-pointers throughout the entire game. Only 9 of his points came from three-point land, folks. When LeBron James is driving the basketball, there is not a man on earth that can stop him. Maybe with the exception of Michigan State's finest Draymond Green, who, again, what you heard throughout that intro, man, was that an incredible block or what? Draymond Green meeting LeBron at his peak and sending it straight out of here. That was an incredible play last night. But, again, for the most part, when LeBron James drives, you're either going to foul him or just get out of the way. And that's exactly how he played last night. He played like a man on a mission. And the final aspect to this whole thing, again, just to sum it up, again, he doesn't have two star players on the squad, meaning that he pretty much has to do everything. Playing in a hostile environment at Oracle Arena, the way in which he played, again, with the mentality that I'm going to drive the ball, stop me. For the fourth point, again, James getting others involved. And this is why I hate the comparisons when you talk about LeBron James being compared to a Michael Jordan. LeBron James is a facilitator, folks, but he can also score. You know, and I love the analogy. I think, you know, Mark Jackson, who you've been hearing throughout, you know, ESPN's broadcast of the NBA, Mark Jackson, who I think is, I'm a big fan of, he does an incredible job of analyzing and breaking down the game. He made a comment that I certainly agree with. He calls LeBron James a hybrid of Michael and Magic because he can score like Michael, but he also gets his teammates involved like Magic. I personally think LeBron James compares more so to a Magic Johnson, more so than Michael Jordan. But hey, who am I, right? But LeBron James, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable at getting individuals involved. So whenever, you know, he was double team, which Golden State did a lot once LeBron James really started to get it going, LeBron James found his teammates. And the big knock on LeBron during game one is that he shot too much. I mean, anytime somebody takes 38 shots, actually, in game one, LeBron James's 38 shot attempts were the most that he ever had throughout a game. 38 shot attempts, folks. Now, he was pretty efficient, but I thought that LeBron James settled a lot during spurts of that game, specifically as that game winded down in game one. But LeBron James was so smart and clever with the basketball. He recognized where the double team came from and kicked it to the open man. He got who I thought was going to be the main key in last night's game, who was a big key. I don't think he was the main key, but he was a big key to why the Cavaliers won, was J.R. Smith scoring 13 points. You got to get J.R. Smith involved early. He's a fantastic player coming off the bench for Cleveland. I thought that was the key. But LeBron James recognizing when he doesn't have the shot and getting his teammates involved is why. That's what makes LeBron James special. And he did that, folks. He did that and much more last night. And the final component as to why I think this was his greatest performance yet that we've seen is that he's wearing a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. The team that drafted him, the fan base that had so much hope in him, and the fan base whose hearts were crushed when LeBron decided to take his talent to Miami. He is back in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey putting on a show, folks. It's truly remarkable, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Again, I thought that this was LeBron James's greatest performance on the hardwood because the cards were stacked against him. He's going against a Golden State team that is the best in the NBA, record-wise, when looking at it. It's just unbelievable what he's able to do. Let's go to our phone lines right now. I believe we have Martin from Orchard Lake on line one. Michael from Saginaw, actually on line one. I'm sorry. Mike, how you doing, Mike?
How you doing, man? I took a little break, man, from calling you. You know I call you every now and then, man, but I've been so busy on my getting my grind on, so I haven't been able to talk.
That's what it's all about, Mike. Yeah.
Yes, it is. What I want to talk about is unbelievable. I didn't watch the game to the overtime, man. What went on?
Yeah, I mean, how fun is this? I mean, you got back-to-back games that go to overtime. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How fun is this? And again, like, to restate my last point, I mean, this is the first time this has happened in NBA history. And all the NBA haters out there, I would love to hear from them because, you know, I always get the knock from different fans out there who love the NFL and different sports. Not to knock them because I love every sport out there. The NBA is my favorite, though. I mean, what about the storyline in this series and having, you know, back-to-back games to go to overtime? That's fun stuff, Mike.
I was going to tell you, you know, we had three of the best athletes that America's produced, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, and LeBron James, all on this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we had a triple crown horse that blew out his competitors, man. So it was a nice, it was an interesting weekend indeed, man. Just to see it. Serena at the top of her game, see Tiger Woods going down, and see LeBron James. He's just a beast, man.
He is.
It'll never be another athlete like that, I think. We lucky in this lifetime. We see some great athletes, especially in basketball. James is just, man.
He's something
somebody
else.
Who really, he just plays to his talent, man. There's a lot of talented people out here in life, but you know how many people really play up to their talent level, man? And you know what? I'm rooting for Cleveland because I want to see Cleveland win it, but I also love Draymond Green. I got to, man. Draymond Green for flagging off. And I just like,
right.
You know, I just like him.
Yeah,
man. But LeBron James is just you just can't describe him, man. He's just awesome, man. You know, he's just so awesome and everything. Anytime, you know, if people always try to, the first take, people always try to say he's not a clutch player and all that, man. But forget that for a minute. I just like watching LeBron James really uplifting his team, and also uplifting the city of Cleveland, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, LeBron. Thank you.
He's fantastic. Hey, Mike, great call as always. And, yeah, and looking at Draymond Green, he's got to be like a hometown hero for you guys out in Saginaw, right?
Right? Yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, man. I just, like I say, man, it's funny to watch Draymond Green how much weight he lost. And even when he was in high school, he had that ankle injury and he puffed up so big and everything. And all of a sudden, you just look at him at the Golden State Warriors. You know what? I hope he's going to get a lot of money, but he needs to stay with that team, man, because I think they're going to compete every year. If people saying he's going to Detroit and stuff, why do you want to go to Detroit and start over? Much as I like Detroit.
Nah,
but
yeah. I just think that's a big rumor. I think after this year, Draymond Green, he's proving right now that he is a max contract type of a guy. I think Golden State, I mean, he's all first-team defensive, you know, for this year in the NBA. I think that at the end of the day, I think Golden State will shell out the moolah because at the end of the day, I think he's worth it. And he's proving that day by day. Mike, great call. Appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, my man.
All right, let's go to line two. We've got Martin from Orchard Lake who also wants to talk about LeBron James. Martin, how you doing?
Al, what's going on, man?
My man.
I was sitting back watching the game yesterday. I was thinking, just watching the Cleveland Cavaliers play offense versus the Golden State Warriors play offense, Cleveland has nobody on their team.
Right.
I agree. I mean, you know, it's not representative of the whole team they had all year because obviously they had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. But I was sitting back talking with some friends last night. This has got to be the least talented team in the finals since the 2001 76ers in terms of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, that's a big statement. Yeah, you know, looking at the components and pieces of this team, I mean, you can make that argument, especially when LeBron is basically, like you said, he's doing it by himself right now, Martin. I mean, you got, you know, Kevin Love, he's out. Kyrie Irving goes out. And it was interesting to hear the dynamics and the different analysts out there talk about last night's game before it started during the pregame show and how LeBron basically has the weight of the world on his shoulders because, well, other than LeBron James, who can you argue on that squad that can legitimately create their own offense? I mean, I really think no one, Martin.
I mean, think about it like this, bro. Like, you just look at the finals the way they are right now. You had they won by, what, 2 points in overtime?
Right.
And Steph Curry was 2 for 15 from three.
Exactly.
Like, it's like it took a miraculously poor game by Steph Curry for the Cavaliers to even be close, and LeBron had like 39 points. You know, LeBron had a triple-double with only three turnovers, and they still barely won. I mean, they're just completely overmatched to me, but what LeBron is doing, man, it's crazy.
And, you know, it's something that when you look at Martin, it's something that, and this is an argument you can't make. Michael Jordan's never done this. Magic Johnson never done this. Larry Bird's never done this. I can go on and on when talking about the great players who have played this game of basketball. LeBron James is showing everyone out there that, yeah, I'm doing this alone. Michael didn't do it alone. You know, and this is at the creme de la creme. This is not like the second round of the NBA playoffs. This is the NBA finals, and LeBron is doing it on the world's biggest stage. Now, I do want to say, I want to temper this by saying it's only game two. It's still a lot of basketball left to play, and we could see an entirely different outcome as this series goes on. But you got to appreciate what we saw last night because it was truly remarkable, Martin.
I mean, when you sit back and read the stat about the one that LeBron did, all this, he scored all these points and, you know, averaged like 40 points a game, you know, something like 12 rebounds, 10 assists.
Right.
In a place where they only lost two regular season games all year. Like, I mean, if I'm not a LeBron fan either, but you have got to give him credit for what he's doing.
You got to.
Like, if you're not giving him credit, you're just a hater.
Exactly. Like, and there's a lot of those out there, Martin. Without a doubt. Hey, Martin, appreciate the call, brother.
No doubt.
All right, let's go to line three. We've got Ray from Fort Wayne. Ray, how you doing? And welcome to the show. My man, Ray, I haven't heard from you in a while. I missed your voice, Ray.
Yeah, my aunt died. I had to go to a funeral. I was up in Michigan a couple of times in the last 4 weeks, so I've been running around with my head's cut off.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry to hear that, Ray. Well,
that's all right. Hey, she's in a better place than we are.
Yeah, there you go.
No more pain and sorrow in heaven, is there?
There you go. There you go, Ray. And I understand, Ray, you want to talk about the great Secretariat, huh?
Yeah, I go back to 1973, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The last one to win a Triple Crown was 1978. It took 37 years, and that horse had the second fastest time in the Belmont ever.
Right.
You know who's got number one, don't you?
Who's that?
Secretariat. 2.65 seconds. I was wondering how many lengths that would be, and they were talking about it this morning. That horse, as great as it was, would have lost by 15 lengths to Secretariat.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And you know, I think Secretariat, and it was interesting watching the horse race, the Belmont over the weekend. I sat down and watched it right when it came on. I even watched the pre-race to that. And watching the just the dynamics in the pregame show, and they actually had Secretariat's owner in the stands. And
right.
I knew if American Pharoah, which the horse ended up, you know, winning the Triple Crown, I knew that one of the first conversations that was going to come up on countless radio shows and debate shows out there was who's the greater horse, Secretariat or American Pharoah. It's something that's going to be debated about for years.
Let me put it this way, Al. Who's got the three world records for the Triple Crown?
I'm guessing Secretariat.
All three of them, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
So I think that debate can end right now.
Right, exactly. But what American Pharoah did, though, I mean, yeah. Triple Crown, anytime you talk about a Triple Crown winner, you got to tip your cap. It was unbelievable.
Fabulous. That was fabulous. But, you know, when Secretariat died, they had an autopsy on him. You know what they found in his body?
What's that?
His heart was 2.5 times the size of any horse ever.
Oh, wow.
He had a bigger motor.
So that was an advantage, yeah.
They can gauge your 40 time. They can gauge your lift and weights, but they can't gauge your heart.
Oh, you learn something new every day. Ray, thanks a lot for the call, my man.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, let's hit our first break here on the show. When we come back, we will get to our fantastic guest. She will be making her debut here on the show for the first time, MSU Women's Head Tennis Coach Simone Jardine. You don't want to miss that chat. She'll put in perspective the incredible accomplishment Serena Williams had over the weekend, winning her 20th major at the French Open. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Give me the time.
On the eve of summer, the Supreme Court winds down. We await rulings in several blockbuster cases: same-sex marriage, lethal injection, healthcare subsidies. A look at what's on the docket and what to expect, plus all the day's news and your calls at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Oh, but well, I tell you what, a fantastic weekend. A fantastic weekend just to sit on the couch and enjoy sports. Again, you had American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown. You had an overtime, two overtime games in the NBA Finals. You know, Tiger Woods, well, that wasn't fun to watch. You probably just turned the channel on him. He had just a horrible, horrible weekend. Detroit Tigers were on. They took two of a three-game series against the Chicago White Sox. If you're here in the area, of course, the Lugnuts, they had a home series over the weekend. So just a fantastic time just to enjoy the sporting world. And, you know, something that I had, my jaw completely dropped when I was watching this accomplishment over the weekend happened to be, of course, the great Serena Williams. Despite being sapped by a nasty flu for much of last week, Serena Williams beat Lucy Sarafova to win the French Open on Saturday and claim a landmark 20th major. Now, by winning the Wimbledon and French Open, Williams already became the first player since Jennifer Capriati back in 2001 to claim the first two Grand Slams in the same season. To talk about the remarkable Serena Williams, as well as to chat about how this year went for the Michigan State tennis team, it's my pleasure to welcome Simone Jardine to WKAR's Current Sports. Simone, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to be a part of your radio show. So definitely a great weekend. I am a big sports fan also, and wow, it was quite something. So also on the men's side, you know, the men's final was incredible too. So lots of tennis, some horse racing. That's just good stuff.
It is great stuff. And yeah, shout out to Stan Wawrinka, right? I mean, unbelievable weekend for him as well. So with everything that took place, Simone, I got to ask you, what was your favorite moment throughout the sporting weekend?
Well, I'm originally from Brazil.
Right.
So the guy that I love doubles. It's always been the strength of mine. And the men's doubles final was between Marcelo Melo and Doggett against the Bryan brothers. And the Brazilian guy, Marcelo Melo, he won with an amazing volley and a match point. It was an incredible match, 7-5 in the third set. So I'm biased with that, but
right,
because you know it's like a Guga Kirten, who, you know, handed trophies. He's from Brazil. He won three times the French Open in singles back a long time ago.
Right.
But you know, with this accomplishment, it's something amazing for Brazil for sure. But overall, it was just great tennis. I mean, I saw some of the highlights as well, and some amazing shots all throughout, you know, this last 2 weeks. So tennis is definitely quite different these days. It's much more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's so amazing about Serena, really. You know, she can, how can this woman get herself in trouble so many matches, get down a set and come back and win and just play amazing. And I just, you know, her athleticism is something out of this world.
Every year, it just amazes me to see. It seems like she's just getting better with age. Just better with age, Simone. Now, looking at her, again, she's 33 years old. She captured her 20th major. I got to ask you, how unusual is this in really a game where many careers of those who play professional tennis are usually quite short? How rare is it what we're seeing right now from Serena Williams, Simone?
What's rare, I think what it is that the game of tennis, professional tennis, is changing. I think the maturity level is definitely something that has helped athletes. You see, you know, Djokovic, all these guys are better. I mean, they are older, and the women's side, even a lot of them are older. And I think that's a good thing because it's not an easy thing to do. You're traveling all year. You have very, very little rest time. For a young person to be able to put up with that, it's hard. I think if you don't have a good support system,
mm-hmm.
it's difficult. It's probably in any sport, but tennis is a lone sport. You know, you are there by yourself, And when you're playing tennis, a lot of things come to your head, and it's a battle out there. And I think that what has happened is that for Serena, she's just reached a point where she's so confident. I don't think anything can break this woman's confidence. And, you know, she was sick at one point a few years ago, and I mean, nothing can bring her down at this point. And I think it comes with age and it comes with experience. And I think it's a change in professional tennis. Really, you see a lot older. I think it's a good thing, really, because, you know, for young adults to be out there and play in the pro circuit, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, I want to preface this next statement by saying I'm not knocking team sports by any stretch of the imagination with the statement I'm about to make. But I will say, Simone, that when looking at individual sports such as tennis, you know, golf, we've seen Tiger Woods over the weekend. He struggled. He shot like an 80 during one round of this weekend. Just terrible. And it hurts for me to say that because I'm a big, big, big Tiger Woods fan. But when looking at individual sports, I mean, you are out there alone. You don't have, you know, your coach isn't right there where you can get some advice, other than maybe in golf, you got your caddy right there. But the pressure is on your shoulders. When looking at what Serena has been able to do in an individual sport, quote unquote, what do you think makes her so different, and how has she been able to be so consistent?
Honestly, I just think that she's just athletic, like the human being that she is. I think she's just really genetically, the woman is something, because nobody in this pro tour can serve that hard and that consistent in the women's tour. Like, nobody can, which is a huge part of the game. She is also her technique is very simple, and she's able to take serves early. I mean, there's so many things, like technique-wise, that she does that are just, you know, they separate her from the rest. But then there's also the fact that, you know, when you have that much experience, and I think that from a young age, she's always been told that she is the best, and she believes in it, and it goes long ways when you have confidence. I think, I don't know Tiger Woods. I guess I don't follow golf too much, but I know that when he was on top of his game, he was playing amazing and doing wonderful things, and he probably had a ton of confidence, but he hasn't had confidence, and it shows in his game. And I think you can't substitute, you know, you can't put a sub in. There is no sub.
It is
you, and if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Right. That is certainly true. And you know what, Simone, when looking at your resume, when you played at Fresno State, actually Fresno State was 38-11. During your two seasons of competition, and finished the 2001 campaign ranked number 14 nationally. Now, while completing 2002 at number 25. Now, the Bulldogs, you guys won a WAC championship in 2002, advanced to the NCAA tournament during both of your seasons. During the 2000-2001 season, Fresno State was ranked as high as number 8 in the country, which is still a program best. I mean, for you, Simone, when you were out there, to make this thing more personal, when you were out there alone, to make sure you kept a consistent focus and in tune with the game, I mean, what sort of tricks, if you will, did you use to make sure you were mentally healthy, throughout each and every match?
Really, just taking care of the things that I can control, and that's what I try to coach, you know, my athletes here. There are things in general in life, in the game of tennis, and in any sport, there are things that you can control, and there are things that you cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from the beginning, I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. I always wanted to play tennis, and when I got to play, you know, I wanted to play pro, like every kid out there wants to do. And that didn't work out. And college tennis was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just knew that I had to do things different than other students on campus do. You know, you've sacrificed certain things. My social life wasn't the biggest, you know, it wasn't a priority. It was pretty low on my list, actually. But I focused on getting my studies done, and so I could play tennis and practice more and feel ready. You know, I think the sleeping sleeping routines, all those little details that are things that you can control. I took care of those, and I till this day, I think that's one thing that, you know, having kids and moving on, I think it's something that you do for the rest of your life. It's really controlling the things that I can. When I step on the court, I cannot control how ready my opponent is going to be, how good or how bad she's going to be, and that's something that can be said about anything, you know, anything that you do. So I was always very confident. I'm very lucky. I was raised in a house where, you know, I definitely had a lot of power, and I felt empowered, I guess, not power, empowered. Mm-hmm. And I think in general, athletes, you know, having that confidence and that self-esteem, it is a huge, huge part. It's something that you cannot teach. It's something that it comes from within you.
Very, very good advice. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Simone Jardine, head MSU women's tennis coach. Now, Simone, only Steffi Graf has more majors at 22. Where do you currently rank Serena Williams on your all-time tennis greats list?
She's up there. I mean, there's a lot of other women, different times also, I think, the tennis was different. But how long Serena has played for and has managed to stay on top, you know, like you said, she's 33 years old. I think she's got to be one of the best, and she will be breaking, you know, she is going to be. She's not stopping anytime soon, you know. I think that she's still got a couple years, at least, you know, her sister's still playing.
Right.
She's still doing well. So I really think that she will stay around. Who knows? You know, it really the sky is the limit for this woman. And like I said, she's got a big game, and she can do a lot more. What I like is that the more women are stepping up and being able to challenge her. And that's something that will keep her in the game.
Right.
Because I think when it becomes so, not boring, but it's almost like she beats the same women, plays the same women over and over again.
Right.
There is no challenge. So I think that, you know, and when you think about Steffi Graf and even like Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova, they were always playing the same women, you know, Monica Seles. It was always the same matches. They played each other so many times. Where Serena now has had throughout her career so many rivals, and that's great for the sport.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it definitely more intriguing. I tell you that. So, will she be top five? Will she be the greatest of all time when her career is done? What do you think?
I think so, especially if she stays. If she plays a couple more years, you know, I give her 2-3 more years, and she'll break. She'll have the most. I mean, I think she will just. Who knows? Who knows what she'll do? There's still two more tournaments. Who knows?
Right. Exactly.
She can finish with a Grand Slam. You know, so that would be something.
Oh boy, if she wins the U.S. Open and Australian Open, oh my goodness, that'd be incredible stuff. All right, well, before we get you out of here, Simone, this is a personal question I gotta ask you, because I think it's so cool that you are a native of Santa Maria, Brazil. What was it like growing up in Brazil?
It was different. It's a third world country, and you know, it's definitely, things have changed since I've been here since 98. So I've been in the U.S. For probably, you know, for almost half of the time that I was in Brazil, that I was here.
Right.
My whole family is there. So that's where my family is. So I still consider that home. But, you know, now I have two American children. So it's kind of torn. It's different. But I miss home. Brazil is a very different from America. Things are a lot slower paced, if you'd say. Culture-wise, people are a lot more outgoing, and there's people everywhere. It's very populated.
Right.
You know, I guess you see a lot more people, like people walk everywhere or public transportation. It's not a very rich country, but it's beautiful. There's beautiful places. It's definitely a great place. It's just not, not full of opportunities. I would say that, especially that's why to me, I think this kid, you know, winning, well, he's not really a kid. He's in his 30s. But when I was growing up, he was a kid. He was younger than I was in juniors. But for him to win the French Open in doubles in a country that does not support their athletes like, you know, like the U.S. does, I think that's the amazing accomplishment.
Oh, boy, that is fantastic. Yeah, truly, truly amazing to say the least. Again, folks, there you have it. Simone Jarjean, head MSU women's tennis coach. Simone, we'll make sure to get you on when you guys, right before you guys start the season next year. How does that sound?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. That would be great.
Fantastic
stuff.
Thank
you so much, and go green.
There you go. That's how you got to end it, right? gotta love that. Simone Jarjean, she's fantastic. Listen to our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on Monday's Current Sports by bringing to you, that's right, weekend winners with a special guest, Ryan Slocum, sports reporter and anchor at ABC 12 in Flint, Michigan. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
Hi, I'm Aaron Almey. On the next To The Point, China is denying it was responsible for a massive cyber attack on 4 million American government employees. It's the third major breach of federal networks in the past year. Will hackers always be one step ahead when it comes to cybersecurity, both national and personal? Next time on To The Point from Public Radio International.
To The Point, today at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Breaking news.
Just take us back to when you first realized something was going on.
Correspondence on the ground.
You have on your roof a Gowri missile.
Interviews with people that matter.
I think he's going to win. He still thinks he's winning.
And analysis from experts.
What can we do that we're not now doing?
Making sense of the world in 60 minutes.
This is an incredibly complex, murky, difficult field.
NewsHour from the BBC.
This afternoon at 4 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Well, let's close today's show. We got about, 8 minutes left in the show each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports. We love to bring you what we dub as our weekend winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend overall. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, that's right. You hear the music. It is time for weekend winners here on Current Sports. We take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting realm and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports. So, I'm actually going to start with my weekend losers because we have a special guest that's going to give you a rundown of, I think, the most glaring weekend winner, the obvious pick other than American Pharoah or Serena Williams, right? For me, my two weekend losers, they both have a similar name, the Detroit Tigers, who, again, they got a chance. They're on a winning streak right now. They won two of, a three-game set against the Chicago White Sox. But prior to that, folks, 8 losses in a row? Come on, Tigers. What in the world is going on with the Detroit Tigers? So inconsistent right now. And, yeah, my brother from another mother, Tiger Eldrick Woods. Or I should say Eldrick Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods shooting a career worst 85 on Saturday. Oh, boy. Actually, a career worst overall 302 strokes at the Memorial. That's just oogle. Oh, and I think I'm finally going to admit, I think Tiger Woods will never be the Tiger Woods of old. I think I can finally admit that. As much as it pains me to come to grips with that reality, I got to admit it. So Tiger Woods and the Detroit Tigers, those are my weekend losers. My weekend winners are pretty obvious. I'm going with American Pharoah, first Triple Crown winner since 1978. Are you kidding me? How crazy was that, folks? And the obvious pick, the other obvious pick, LeBron James. And right now, to close out our show, I told him I'd give him some time. I told him I'd give him more time than this, but we got 5 minutes left. I want to invite my man, 50 grand, Ryan Slocum of ABC 12 out in Flint. Ryan, how you doing?
Doing great, Al. What's happening, man?
I'm doing great, brother. Now, I know who your obvious weekend winner is, LeBron James. Tell the people why.
I mean, apparently I have to tell the people why, because I know you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on all this stuff. You're talking to people on the radio today. We are watching one of the greatest basketball players, the greatest performances of all time. You and I were talking last night. That game last night has to go down as one of the greatest finals performances of all time. It's right up there. I mean, this guy is doing more with less than anybody in the history of the NBA.
Yep.
No one has done what this guy has done playing with the New York Knicks, basically. He's playing with J.R. Smith, with Iman Shumpert, Timofey Mozgov.
Yep.
How did Carmelo do with those guys? Oh, yeah, they didn't make the playoffs or come close. This guy's got them. They should really be up 2-0 in this final series. You can make an argument for that. This guy is just unbelievable, Al, and he's doing it by himself. And, you know, you hear the argument, well, he's not Mike. Well, he's not Mike. Oh, I didn't know that being only the third greatest human in the history of the universe was a bad thing.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Oh, you're the third best guy ever? Man, you stink. That's like, hey man, you know, man, that Lincoln, he sure did a good job for this country in the Civil War. Yeah, well, he's no Washington,
right? I
mean, he's no Washington.
I've never heard it put that way, Ryan. I think that's hilarious.
Kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one is Michael Jordan. No one is Michael Jordan. I think we all know that,
right?
But the fact, you know, when people like, he's not even in the conversation. No, actually, he is in the conversation because you people keep bringing him in the conversation.
Yes.
You keep bringing it up. Well, he's not Mike. Well, you just put him in the conversation. So apparently he's pretty darn good if you keep comparing him to Mike.
Right. Yeah.
It's unbelievable the lack of respect this guy has. And the funny thing is, the thing that gets me the most, and Al, I know you're younger, but when Michael was winning his first three titles, people were saying the same stuff about him that they're saying about LeBron now. Oh, he travels. Oh, he's a ball hog. Oh, he can't shoot. Oh, he this and this and this. It's the same exact stuff. He doesn't make anybody better.
And I didn't know that. Wow, that was so. We're hearing the same dialogue that happened to Mike back in the 90s.
Oh, it's absolutely the same thing. It wasn't until he left and came back, and he got the jump shot, he got the turnaround J that everyone, you know, the patented turnaround jump shot. He didn't have that early on. In that game one in 1992 against the Blazers, he hit 6 threes in the first half, which is incredible for anybody, but it was absolutely incredible for him because he was not known as a shooter at that point in his career.
Right.
That
right.
came later on. You know, there's a lot of revisionist history and whatnot. Not taking anything away from the guy. He is by far the greatest player of all time.
Right.
I just think it's hilarious that since LeBron isn't Mike, that he stinks. That's what most people want to believe.
That is, hey, Ryan, well put, and I agree with everything you just said, and then some, my brother. Always fantastic having you on the show. I'm glad you put some people in their place today, all right? Thanks a lot, Ryan. Again, Ryan Slocum of ABC 12 out in Flint. Man, Ryan's fantastic. And I agree. I agree with everything you just said. LeBron James is doing things that we have never seen at this level in the NBA. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Also a shout out to, of course, Simone Jardine, MSU women's head tennis coach. Take care and be easy, people.